Morning Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, how are you?
I am good. Good, getting ready for the summer. Although today's music is not a super summer music. I don't know why.
No,
it doesn't have a summery vibe.
It's kind of like you made a tent out of velvet and you stayed in it all year.
Yes, it's sort of a darker northern hemisphere sort of vibe. So we're doing prog rock or
Hello.
Progressive rock. And this is so weird because it's really reviled. Some people call it an embarrassment. You know, like you can find some real hate. But yet, you know, the songs are massive sellers.
Huge.
The album's a massive sellers. Big influence on all sorts of other artists. Like, really changed music, especially rock music, forever.
You can do stadium tours if you're a lookalike band of a prog rock artist. There's, like, Floyd Live coming, and I think they're going to play
really?
Spark Arena or something.
Oh, my
it's like,
God.
What?
It's so crazy. So, in the 60s, rock was starting to move from rock and roll, you know, which was fun, a couple of chords, you know, dancing, twisting and shouting. you know, the sort of precursors, I guess, were the Beatles sort of stopping touring because it was just too nuts, doing drugs and getting in the studio and doing Sgt. Pepper. And a couple of bands started doing that, too. And some people say it was a shift from sort of blues-based rock to sort of classical-based rock, which I think is interesting because, remember, rock is supposed to be roll over Beethoven. Tell Tchaikovsky the news. But this group of mostly British, there's Americans as well, sort of late 60s, yeah, just started getting really experimental, like 43-minute long songs.
It is usually marked by longer than 3 minutes 30.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh. And that was, I guess, the change from being sort of a fun, you know, clubby kid concerty thing to trying to get it to art.
Right.
Which I don't know, is that the antithesis of what rock's supposed to be? So it sits well with some people and it doesn't sit well with others because in some ways maybe it's sort of too hypocritical to be doing art when you're supposed to be doing rock, or I don't know.
The Beatles example is a great example because if you're taking your music from an external space to a very internal space.
Ooh, yeah, so internal.
Then I guess the criticism that could be leveled at it is, oh gosh, that's indulgent, you know?
Yeah, but that was, you know, being an artist. You know, I paint for myself and what
right.
my inspiration is. And rock hadn't been. It had been more sort of interactive. And we do kind of put down that sort of pop that's too catering.
Right,
you
know? Right.
So this is anti-pop, not catchy. Not concise. Not danceable.
Not dance.
So is this King Crimson?
Yeah.
These are the iconic place to start prog rock. Even though it's 74, we're at sort of slightly towards the end of the wave.
This is still chugging along at a good pace.
I'm scared to say anything bad about it because I feel like the listeners will be
Ooh.
Quite into it.
You never know, though.
Text in 53955. What are your thoughts on prog rock? Do you have a favorite prog rock band? Favorite song? Favorite length?
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
No, apparently King Crimson is not a band. It's a way of doing things.
Ah.
And whenever you need it done, King Crimson will appear.
Aww.
What are your personal thoughts on it?
Why do you want my personal... Well, okay, there's one of the bands we're going to play today that I really like, and I'll say something positive about them.
Okay.
Cool. I'm not into it, but you can see how influential this would have been on, you know, metal coming up, experimental
totally.
Noise music, Tool, Fish, grunge, like, you know, they didn't sell a ton of albums. In fact, the band had broken up before this album came
really,
out.
Really? King Crimson?
Yeah.
Because they are still, I mean, their name is more revered than, for example, Pink Floyd, which kind of gets made a lot of fun of.
Yeah. But they're overblown. So some of the other bands we're not playing today, Genesis, yes, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Rush. You didn't choose my modern band, Spock's Beard.
Sorry.
But just, you know, to show that, you know, there's some people still trying to do it.
So we've got two texts in, and they run the spectrum. Somebody just texts in, Tool! And somebody
yeah,
else texts in, prog rock equals excessive guitar wank.
Yeah, some people felt it was just too...
I could see that. I could see that.
Well, you know, somebody might consider it excessive guitar mastery.
I wish you could see Tess's face right now.
How long's the song?
Somebody said, the shorter the better, it sucks. Somebody else
Thank
said,
you, listener.
Somebody else said, it's music for musicians. Somebody is saying, why not use Pink Floyd's Dark Side? That has major prog elements. King Crimson is very challenging.
Oh, okay.
Challenging in what sense, Dexter?
Well, we've got we've got a different movement now.
I wish Kirsten you could asked earlier, this. How long is the song, Sarah?
This song, I don't know, this is kind of not bad for King Crimson. This is 6 minutes 16.
Oh, it's a shorty.
Yeah.
Oh, they're selling out. Bastards.
Shall we move on to the next artist?
I think so. It's time.
All right.
Okay, this is my favorite prog band.
Is this the one you meant?
Yes.
The one with the flautist?
Yes, this is Jethro Tull.
Really don't mind if you sit this long.
And they
out.
Went for a weird sort of folky.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a
influence
folky.
And words, kind of sounds medieval-y, you know, like you feel like sort of. Hopping around.
Yeah, I wish the listeners could see Kirsten's jingling.
Dancing. And you have a flute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like this more.
So this is 72. It's 43 minutes. It takes two sides of the album.
Someone says Jethro Tull's not prog.
Oh.
I love that. Someone else said, thank God punk helped kill it.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, this sounds like prog, but I think intellectually it is. You know, it has the qualities, not the sonorities. Ooh.
Is it?
You know, but with the long song, with the creativity, with being anti-pop, anti-blues. And here, apparently this album was supposed to be a parody.
Really?
And they were influenced by Monty Python. Like the album's all based on...
That's interesting.
The poetry they discovered of an 8-year-old boy, which was all fake. It was all Ian Anderson's poem.
Someone texted and saying, throw Jethro in the bin.
And somebody else said, Jethro Tull rocks.
I know, yeah.
You're being selective in your text reading.
I think, you know, I think anyone who loves music should maybe give it a go listening to this 45-minute song.
I may have this wrong, and I think the listeners will definitely tell me if I do, but one of Steve Coogan's characters, who is an old English radio DJ and drives a souped-up muscle car, I think the theme song is Jethro Tull. Because he's well into it. It's proper music.
Yeah, I mean...
It's English music.
I think of the sort of... He's like the Doctor Who that wears the multicolored scarf and the hat. You know, it's that kind of whimsical.
Someone texted and saying, it's all rock and roll, and they put two X's at the end of their text. I quite like that. It's all rock and roll.
All right, we'll move on to the next one.
Oh, it's just lovely. Rocking. It's just getting good.
This is lovely.
What year is this one from, Kirsten?
72.
So is this is a little earlier than King Crimson.
Yeah, and here's the weird thing. They got a Grammy in 88 for Best Hard Rock over Metallica.
Whoa.
Jethro Tull,
yeah.
Wow.
This is the great thing about the BFM listenership. There's a lot of knowledge out there. Somebody just said, this Tull song isn't prog like A Day in the Life is. This is just a collection of non-prog elements made into a conglomeration.
Ooh, okay. Have your breakfast.
Well, all right, listeners, what do you think of this then?
Someone else said Jethro Tull are awesome. Saw them live a few years ago. Great musicians with a goat rock on your goats.
I reckon they'd be good live.
Emoji.
Sing along if you know it.
I think, how long is this track, Sarah?
Oh, it's 23 minutes, 32? Minutes.
It just takes one side of the album.
I shouldn't make fun. I'm into any musician that's trying to, like, maintain a vibe. That's lovely. And it must be like a marathon to play a song non-stop for that long. But I mean, I guess punk bands do that too. They just run them all together.
This isn't loaded, but is it this for the 23 minutes or does it?
Would you like me to scrub through it, Tess?
No, I was just curious.
Waiting for the beat to drop.
You don't need to.
She's waiting for the drop.
Yeah.
I'm I'm ready for it to kick in.
Somebody just nailed it already by saying Love Echoes. This is, of course, Pink Floyd's Echoes.
Should I be rude and ask what suburb that person lives in?
Someone texted in saying, referring back to the music for musician texts, I think that is a silly term to use because anyone can be a musician, regardless of their level or ability.
Oh, that's nice.
Some lovely texts coming in. Of course you guys know your stuff out there. So is it probably prog bands like Pink Floyd that bear the brunt of people saying, like, oh, it's just too noodly?
Noodly.
We've got a lot of people texting in being like, this is my favourite song. Echoes is the best song ever. Which is nice.
I think it's actually happened once or twice. I know it's happened with Genesis, and I'm pretty sure Pink Floyd, where you get brought back to a guy's place. And he's really sharing a part of himself.
Yeah.
And this is what you get?
I mean,
I just wonder how many dates have gone wrong with this.
All gone right.
Really? I don't know. I know one woman that would work for, but I don't know. For me, it never did.
Also, somebody corrected me by saying Coogan's theme was Electric Light Orchestra.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up Electric Light Orchestra, caller, because like everything else, and we see with all the genres, you get like the mainstreaming of it.
Right.
And so after prog, you get like the pop prog, which would be ELO, Supertramp, Styx, Kansas, you know, like...
Of course.
You get that sort of mainstreaming, you know, it happens with everything. So you can thank prog for that too.
It didn't take long before somebody invoked the god of weed. This is definitely head music.
Now the other thing about
everything is green
is that the lyrics are not, you know, it's not your like romance, love stories, and dance. Yeah. You've got sort of fantasy and science fiction.
It's very Tolkien, a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the Britishness. Now other sorts of. Who's not prog, who is Frank Zappa emerged around this time, Velvet Underground. And they don't sound proggy necessarily, but they have elements of this experimentation, not 3 minutes, not verse chorus, not boogie down dance, you know.
People are really into this. We're getting a lot of texts coming in.
I love it. You must hear echoes in quadraphonic sound, a trip and a half. I love it.
Yeah.
It's also something like this would be like, hey man, do you want to hear my sound system?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, no, I know. It literally has happened to me. So this is serious. You know, it's not pop. It's serious. It's art. We're trying to shift.
And it does mean a lot to a lot of people.
I think people have a lot of fond memories of this song.
Seems so.
A lot of psychedelic memories. Someone said we used to play Echoes when we saw dolphins on our boat.
Aww.
That's nice.
And there's a kind of pun in that. That's
it's very
great.
Specific. I like it.
Oh, I get it.
Someone said you could move forward to the funk break in the song.
There's a funk break. I think we should play the full 23 minutes and everyone should just be quiet and listen.
Listen, we don't have time for this.
Hey, take time
it's
for
a
Floyd.
Really, take really easy way to give Tess a conniption is to suggest playing a 23-minute long song on a breakfast show.
Oh, God.
Thank you so much for your calls and texts. If you don't know the numbers on which to do so, it's 309-3879 or 5395 for the text machine, which is popping off at the Pink Floyd.
Some super interesting texts coming in.
Okay, read one or two.
Alice Sarah be the bearer.
So on one side of the spectrum, somebody has just texted in, this sounds like a limp ginger nut on a soggy afternoon.
That's disgusting.
I think there's a moroseness to this song. I can hear the limp ginger nut.
And then on the other end of the spectrum, love these guys. It's a concept album. Put it on and experience life.
That's right. Also, get a concept, dudes.
Someone said that's the problem with young people these days. They never had to listen to this shit. There's some very funny texts coming in. I'm very much enjoying this.
Okay, share it with the class. She's just chuckling to herself.
Hardly surprising that rock becomes incrementally more complex until it disappeared up its own ass.
I guess you could say that about anything, though.
I feel like these are getting a bit nasty.
I mean, it definitely opened a door.
Hello.
Oh, the funk break. Kind of. You just said George Clinton before, so I don't think it's very fair, but...
I wouldn't tell someone, ooh, yuck, take this off.
Yeah.
It's fine. But I don't have the same connection to it that you do, Kirsten, obviously.
This is definitely the best out of the three for me, personally.
I'm going to go with King Crimson myself.
Wow. And I like Jethro Tull.
Hey. There you go.
So there we go.
We have quorum.
Prog wins one tick each.
We have quorum, and we also have the 95 BFM Top 10's number one band in the building. So I'm sorry, I am going to have to pull out of this 23-minute long track.
Thank you so much,
Dr. Zemke. We will leave the text machine for now. Thank you for all of your calls and texts.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.